Hello, my fans, friends. Welcome to the Rich Herring podcast feed, powered by Acast Plus. Thanks to everyone who's come to see the Can I Have My Ball Back tour so far. It's been going really well. I've got a 4-star review in The Standard, 4-star review in The Telegraph, who once called me the worst comedy experience of the year, so that's a turnaround. People have been coming, people have really been enjoying it, and it's getting better and better. The only gigs this week are both in Pocklington, the town I was born in, near York. There's a couple of tickets left for the evening show and a few more tickets left for the matinee, I think about 4:30. But love to see you there, Yorkshire. Pop along. Check richardherring.com/ballback/tour or richardherring.com/gigs to see if I'm coming near to you. There are tickets left for nearly every show in the tour. I think Norwich has sold out. And a couple of gigs in London could do with your support as well. Anyway, please listen to the podcast. Do spread the news about the podcast to your friends. Listen as much as you can. Numbers are slightly down, which may affect the future of this podcast. So just leave it playing, even if you're not in the room. Love you. Now sit back, relax, and enjoy whatever it is you're going to listen to.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Leicester Square Theatre. Please welcome a man who's come up with a new fruit naming system. It's Richard Herring! Oh, brilliant, thank you. Much better than about 3 months ago's audience. Welcome to Richard Herring's Leicester Square Theatre podcast. I was talking to a flash mob the other day. Remember flash mobs? They said they all called it Rahulastapur, and then they did quite an annoying dance. Who remembers flash mobs? They were cool, weren't they? That's the point of that. I was talking to my daughter the other day about fruits. And how I liked that an orange was called an orange and was also the colour orange. I thought that was good. And I wondered if we could do that with every fruit. My daughter was sceptical. I told her a banana would now become a yellow. And she said, isn't lemon yellow as well, though? I said, no, lemon is a colour, so that's already part of the system. So an orange would be an orange, a lemon would be lemon. A blueberry would be sort of a blue, sort of. She said, what about an apple? I said, that would be a green or a red or a yellow. And a strawberry, and that's also a red or a green if it's not ready. She said, wouldn't that be confusing? Loads of fruits are the same colour. I said, I don't think so. You could go to a greengrocer's and say, can I have a kilo of greens, please? And they'd say, these greens. And you'd say, no, those greens over there. It'd be a simple system. She said, are vegetables included? I said, yeah, why not? She said, aren't most of them green? I said, not sweet corn, unless it's still inside its green sheath. So she said, that's either green or if it's sheathed, it's green if it's sheathed or yellow if it's not sheathed. I said, yeah. So the word for sweet corn and banana would usually be the same. And I said, you could call it knobbly yellow or a knobby yellow. And that would She said, what would a pumpkin be? I said, that's a really big, scary orange. She said, I don't think it's going to work. But I said we could do it the other way round. Oops, fuck it. We could... I knew this bit wouldn't be that good, but it's longer than I thought it was going to be. But I thought I'd give it a go. We could do the other way around. We could name all the colours after the fruit and vegetables. So you'd say, can I have that asparagus-coloured jumper, please? No, not the broccoli one. I said asparagus. You'd probably need to carry a little colour chart around with all time so you could really differentiate all the greens from each other. But it would give us so many more colours to play with. I'm out, said my daughter, but she's not one of the official dragons and I'll wait to see what they have to say about the idea. So I'm trying out some new stand-up, ladies and gentlemen. That one's not going to make. That's going to be like the, oh, Jesus, I have promised routine. I did a stand-up gig the other day with almost all new material. It was very exciting. It was in my village, though, so most of it doesn't play very well here. I did a great bit about the Facebook group getting upset about a horse shitting in a street. Oh, it's gone all right, actually. It's probably... must happen in every place. We have made quite a lot of predictions in the podcast that have turned out to be true. I accurately predicted almost the day how long Liz Truss would be the Prime Minister. So I'd like to make some predictions, because this one I think is going out in January 2023. So I'd just like to say I was terribly sad to hear that Ghislaine Maxwell had committed suicide in prison. So that is that's terribly sad about that. So I hope we can all carry on. She'll be missed. Great. Look, all right, we'll crack on. We've got a fabulous guest for you, ladies and gentlemen, this week. She is probably best known for playing the female compere in Connie. That's why we're here tonight. That's what we're going to only talk about. Will you please welcome Sakisa, ladies and gentlemen? Sakisa. Come in.
Hello, it's me. Hello. Oh, thank you so much.
That's all right. That's my pleasure. Tell us about... I had a little look. I didn't watch the film. It's a short film, right, Connie?
Yeah.
It's about... Tell us what it's about.
You know what? It was so long ago, I can't fucking remember. No, it was about a film about a woman who was doing stand-up.
Yeah.
And I was comparing. Yeah. So I just came on and did a little brief thing as a compare. It was one of the first things I ever recorded. And it just happened, I wasn't like a proper comic back then, I was just happened to be working in that pub, and I knew the producer and director, so they were like, can you be in the film? I was like, am I getting paid? And they were like, no. So I was like, sure. So I ended up in this very short film called Connie. It was nominated, it was like, yeah, won awards and stuff like that.
Lots of awards on the poster. It was about ventriloquist dummies, that's why I like it. I do ventriloquism as well, so I was... It's very excited about it. I wonder if you can...
Which is opposite exactly to what I said. Yeah.
It's good. So, Sakisa.
Yes.
It's there's a lot of things about your name. Sakisa is quite an unusual name. Is that only you that's got that name?
There is only me with this very weird name. I've Googled it. I've looked it up. If you try and Google my name, weird words come up around it. No one has this name. I have no... My mum basically told me that she found my name in a book about African kings and queens. And I asked her what was the name of the book, and she doesn't remember. And she can't find it. And that doesn't help my cause. And I generally feel like she made it up. I feel like she made it up in a game of Scrabble. That's why I feel like she was like, words, does that make a good point? When I tell people my name, especially people that have originated from Africa, they tell me it means different things in their language.
Okay.
So apparently, like, my mum tells me that it means faithful. Someone told me it means blessed. Someone else shouted at me or heckled me during a show when I said my name and said it means pussy in my language. And I was like, that doesn't help my cause. So, yeah, it's a very unique name, but obviously no one has this name, so I'm very original on the circuit, if you want to call it.
And then you can go by one name, which is a fantastic thing.
Yeah. Which is what I really love. People are always like, why don't you not use your surname? I'm like, it's too fucking long. It's a double barrel name, and everyone messes up with my first name anyway.
Yeah.
So then having to deal with the rest of my surname is just like, oh, we don't need to do that. Well, and also, like, I grew up watching, like, I always wanted to be like a little, like, music video person, wanted to be a pop star. So yeah. I always wanted to be like Beyonce and like Britney Spears and Janet Jackson. So my thing was like, let's just have one name, like Madonna and stuff like that, just be like the star. So yeah.
It's a fantastic showbiz name. But you also go by the name Twix.
Yeah. So, yeah, I go by the name Twix. A lot of my comic friends still call me Twix, which was a name I started out on the circuit on because Sakisa was a unique name. People were going to mess it up. So I just didn't want to hassle. Okay. So I just started calling myself Twix, like the chocolate, which is a nickname I got in law school, along with a few other friends that I met at law school, including my best friend. And they all have nicknames because our tutor told us we kept bringing... So we wasn't paying attention in law school. and we kept bringing in chocolates every day to law school. And our tutor just said to us, why don't you just call yourself the Chocolate Girls?
Wow.
For those of you who are listening, I am black. and so are my two other friends. And I don't think she meant it in that kind of racist way. And there was also like another girl who was white.
Yeah, this white chocolate as well,
white
though.
White chocolate. So we all named ourselves like a chocolate that represents us.
Okay.
And it was a problem with the white girl. Because we didn't know what to call her, because there's not really many chocolates that are decent, that are white.
Okay.
That sounds really bad on this podcast.
Yeah. I can't believe you got so racist again. What's wrong with the Milky Bar?
Exactly. well, her boyfriend was called Milky Bar, so we call Milky Bar. So I'm called Twix because I'm a Gemini.
Okay, there's two.
Yes, Gemini's in the house. Yes, we are the best, even though we're crazy. So Twix because I'm a Gemini.
Yeah.
But I'd like to say that I'm not called Twix because I like two fingers.
Yeah.
I prefer a Kit Kat. And I don't like to take breaks. Yeah. So, and it's just a nice way for people to remember me. My best friend is called Snickers because she likes chocolate-covered nuts. and then my other friend is called Cadbury's Caramel. So we all named each other after a chocolate that represents us. And they both have babies, so we now have got, like, baby, like mini, like...
Yeah, fun-size.
Fun-size celebrities, yes.
I'm trying to work out what I would... I eat a lot... When I'm eating chocolate, I'm trying to stop eating it because I can't stop eating it, so I have to stop eating it.
What would be your chocolate choice?
I eat a lot of giant chocolate Cadbury buttons, the giant ones.
Why?
Because that's what the kids have and that's all that's in the house. So
oh,
I just
is
eat
it? They're very...
So
like...
I eat all their chocolate is what I'm saying.
Well, they're just very, like, big, but also just, like, chocolate. Yeah. Like, there's nothing special about it. And I can't call you buttons. That just sounds really weird.
Giant buttons.
Giant buttons. That sounds even weirder.
It might have to be giant button now after what I've been through. So
you can't do it. It sounds even worse.
So look, let's take because you know not everyone will be familiar with
no.
You. And it's great to. I mean you've been going a good while. You've been going sort of five or so. As a comedian, is that right?
I've been going 8 years
eight
now.
Years,
yeah, I'll be 8 years now, but I kind of got, like, known from 2017.
Yeah.
So I ended up in the BBC New Comedy Award final, which was a shock for everyone, including myself. because it was all about writing that competition back in the day. And I, at that time, didn't realise what comedy was. I hadn't done a comedy course. I'm not very good at public speaking. And I have another career and like had three other part-time jobs at the time. So comedy was something I kind of fell into. Then ended up in the BBC New Comedy Award final and was like, oh, shit, we're going to have to do something with this. and then I've carried on doing stand-up comedy and then just debuted my show this year.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so very exciting journeys.
So let's talk about your other job because your other jobs are very... I mean, you've done a lot of things. You've been a dancer.
Yep.
You've worked. Are you still working in immigration as an immigration?
So I'm an immigration lawyer. That's what I was trained to do, and still working 4 days a week as an immigration lawyer. Oh, thank you. thank you. So still working full time or four days a week as an immigration lawyer, whilst juggling a full time job as a comedian because I basically gig 6 days a week, and then still technically work in the pub. So
yeah.
Right, where do I sleep? When do I sleep? Or find dick? I have no idea.
I mean, you're doing really well. You know, you're doing a lot of telly as well now, so you're doing a lot of, you know, you're doing very well in the comedy. So it's interesting. I think most comedians get to a point where they think, okay, well, you know, I'll take the leap and I'll stop working. But it feels like you, I mean, the work you're doing is, the immigration law is especially, is obviously pretty important.
It is, like, it's obviously, especially in this current climate, you talk about immigration and people have their own individual thoughts about immigration, especially in this day and age, and that's perfectly fine. But I, working in it, you see all different sides about immigration and you have the people that obviously generally come here and tell their stories about how they come here and why they come here. And you just want to help these people. Yeah. But our system that we live in, and general public don't understand about it. This is going to get very TED talky.
No, it's okay. Let's talk about it. It's an interesting topic.
The immigration rules, people don't read them. People don't understand them. And the technicalities about immigration in this country is so fundamental, because when you hear someone's story, you'd be like, well, you should be granted asylum in this country. And then you read the criteria and why the Home Office are looking at in terms of granting someone leave to remain on the basis of being a refugee. And you're like, oh, okay, so that's the reasons why they don't get granted. So it's a very like hit or miss job. And it's sometimes very heartbreaking in terms of the people that you deal with. You deal with all different types of people, trafficking. People generally want to come here and join their partners. People want to come here and work visas, student visas and stuff like that. So you do meet a whole different brand of people on reasons why they want to come to this country. But the main reason why I'm still in this job is because I need another mortgage. So that's why I haven't quit my job, which is quite crazy because I've just recorded one of the biggest shows in the UK. And that was crazy to have to do that big show. Oh, this is going out in January, isn't it?
Yeah.
I can mention it, fine. I just recorded live at Apollo. Thanks. And it was the biggest thing that I ever done. And it was so, like, crazy for me to do it.
Yeah.
And then go out, party, celebrate the fact that we did this amazing show, and the next day have to go into my office and be like, why the fuck am I here?
So, well, yeah. It's pretty unusual to have that juxtaposition, but I mean, it's interesting. I'm sure there will be a show in this at some point if there's...
I've already written a sitcom, don't worry.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's already been a sitcom, which I think people at work might be worried about, because people are worried that I do jokes about them. I'm like, no one cares about you. Like, no one wants to hear about you. I've written a sitcom. I've written several sitcoms, but one of them is based on a law firm, because I don't think people understand. And this is why I do jokes about it on stage, because I don't think people really understand like the ins and outs of like what happens in a law firm. And obviously people have their view about law and they see the barristers, especially the criminal barristers, on like TV and their wigs and stuff like that, and just saying their big old words and looking fancy, where they don't really realise what happens before that. And all the paperwork that we have to photocopy and stuff like that.
Sure.
And like having to deal with clients who sometimes are the weirdest people, lovely people, but weirdest people, and you have the phone calls 5 times a day from these people, those kind of things. I don't think people really understand. They hear law and it's less like, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
We have an image of it. Same with like immigration. Yeah. But also, like I say, I'm a lawyer and people think I'm made of money, and I'm like, no. I work in legal aid. There is no money in that. No. So yeah. So it's interesting where I want to like have people understand better about the different dynamics about law.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's fair to say people in the UK don't really grasp immigration very well.
No.
I would say that, you know.
I would say for anyone who has their opinion about immigration in terms of a negative way, especially in this country, I would say to them and challenge them to do the Life in the UK test.
Yeah.
Because I've tried it 4 times and I have failed it 4 times. It is probably the most interesting test for you to be established as a British person.
Yeah.
And I can tell you, even though I've studied law, they're not law questions, but they're like general public questions, like how many people were in the Spice Girls, something stupid along those lines, and like who was in EastEnders at this time, when was Stonehenge made, all of that falafel. And you're like, that's something that we don't care about as British people.
Yeah.
But why are you making these immigrants do it in order for them to be established to be British? So I say to anyone who has their own view, go and do the Life in UK test. It's quite fun. It's quite fun. You do learn a lot. But yeah.
I mean, if the Spice Girls question, they can go, no, I meant after Jerry left, so you've got that wrong.
Yeah.
But, you know, we do, you know, we desperately need immigrants in this country, as we're discovering, having having made people quite unwelcome. I can't see why people in the rest of the world would look at the UK now and go, that's where I want to go.
Yeah, sometimes I do. Sometimes when people will, like, come to the country who are not probably asylum seekers, and they're like, oh, I want to come and work here. And I'm like, why? Like, I don't want to work here. Can I live? Can I please go? Can I go back to Barbados? Can I do that? And just live in the sun? But it is sometimes, people have their own, like, the UK is seen as one of the biggest countries in the world, especially for economic reasons. Yeah. And I'm like, have you seen the news? Yeah.
Not for long.
No, so, we'll see what happens. But we are obviously living in a weird day and age. We've obviously new prime ministers, things happening in like NHS and stuff like that, which I obviously find the prime minister thing I personally find interesting because Liz Truss didn't last two of my periods. So... It's true, right? How could she not last two of my periods? Come on now. Was that the shortest one? I don't know if that was ever the shortest one.
I think it's the shortest PM, yeah. I think so. And there was a Chancellor of Exchequer who died or something, but apart from that, there's never been a shorter running Chancellor of Exchequer.
But even with, like, Brexit, all of that falafel is just, like, a bunch of, like... I always have my own personal views about it, especially, like, when you see the knock-on effects it's happening, not only in immigration, but, like, in... the world that we're living in and the UK that we're living in now, I just find that regardless of whether you thought it was right or wrong to, like, vote to leave, you have your own reasons. But I think the government basically tried to paint this picture of that's what it was. And I'm like, let's just stay in Europe, mainly because we can have one more show at Eurovision. Let's just do that. But regardless of whether people voted to leave or remain, they're entitled to their views. But I just think the government painted a picture that is wrong.
I think they did, yeah, as I think we're coming to realise, if we didn't realise it before. I wonder in 5 years' time how many... I think everyone should have to write down what they voted.
Yeah.
And then we'll decide based on that. Because I think in 5 years' time, we're not going to find many people who voted.
I'm not saying that people that voted were, stupid to vote. I'm just saying, if you voted that way, then you're stupid.
Well, there was a lot of lies, and there we go. Yeah. But
we're getting very political.
It's a very interesting subject. But so you were working when you first tried to have a go at comedy. You were working in a pub that did lots of comedy before, and so
you
were sort of in the bar, working in the bar.
Yeah, so I used to work behind a bar. I still technically do work behind a bar in Stockwell in South London, which the people that own it basically started stand up comedy as an open mic night, and it still goes on till this day. And I emcee there like once a week because it's nice just to see new talent come through and people that are potentially going to take my job. But when I started doing like working behind the bar, you would see like people coming through that people are quite famous now and doing really well. And my boss said to me one day, "You're slightly funny." Yeah, slightly. You're right? Slightly. You're slightly funny. Why don't you give it a go? And I'm not, honestly, was not good at public speaking. I'm not very good at words in general. I'm actually getting assessed to see whether I have dyslexia or not in a few days' time because I've never been good with words and, like, reading out loud and stuff like that. And I didn't really understand stand-up. I never really grew up on stand-up because it wasn't really a thing that I did. I watched. It was really about... like, we watching sitcom sketch shows. Those were the kind of things that I loved when I was growing up. And then having to work in this bar where all these comedians were coming in, telling their jokes for 5 minutes, and you see people's reaction, and my boss going, "Oh, you're slightly funny, why don't you give it a go?" And then me going on stage and ranting for 5 minutes about lions was not funny. And then I just kind of was like, oh, we'll just give it a go, do it for fun, and just carried on working behind the bar and then doing the sound for Comedy Virgins and then... getting on stage, doing my 5 minutes of me dying on my ass, and then like doing this big old cycle of working, and then gradually we've got to the person that we are today. And I'm lucky enough that I get to teach stand up to people, which is a lovely job for me because I get to embrace, like, put onto them my own learnings and my own wisdom from what I learned when I was starting out as someone who didn't want to do stand up, who's just kind of like, loved it so much since she's kind of, I'm the third person, since I've been doing it. It's been therapeutic for me at times, especially this year, which has probably been the hardest year of my life, but like professionally, it's been the best year of my life. And it's only because I've been able to like push through anything personal and just have stand up as a way of like living. I love it so much, being able to get on stage. And I didn't realize who I was as a comedian. Like, it's a very different, I don't know how you feel, but it's a very, for me, it's like Sasha Fierce, Beyonce kind of vibes. Like, I'm off stage on one person, and then when I get on stage, I'm that bitch. So you have to get that energy up, and I'm all about energy, and that's the kind of thing I throw out when I'm on stage. And being able to do that in a room full of people is always is great feelings.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's about finding out who you want to be on stage, and it can be a version of yourself, or it can be a version you'd like to be. But, you know, it's rarely exactly yourself, I have to say. I don't think many people are the heightened version. And your stuff is very energetic. I mean, it's quite movement-based as well, as sort of dancing and singing and that sort of thing in it as well.
Yes.
So you, the show you took to, was it Edinburgh this year?
Yeah, Edinburgh this year.
So you took a month away, unpaid leave. From being a lawyer to go to the Edinburgh Fringe to presumably
spend
thousands and thousands of pounds, if you're anything like me. Yeah. So what was, tell us about that show.
So the show was called Life of the Party. It was all about parties and having a good time and just living your best life, coming out of the pandemic. And it was set in one party, in one particular house party, and just having a good time and just me having a conversation with people around the room. And then the show was broken up with music cues where I would dance in between. And it was really funny when I saw some of the reviews where they were like, she's a great dancer. I was like, what about the jokes? Come on now. Just because I can twerk on stage doesn't mean I'm not funny. But I really enjoyed my show and it got like really good reviews and people loved it. And obviously good things have come out from doing that show. But it was a learning curve, Edinburgh. I'm not going to lie. It was a learning curve. It was an emotional roller coaster at times where I just was like, I don't want to do this. I don't want to get out of bed because I was plugged as like being an immigration lawyer. Especially in a lot of my PR stuff, I think people came to the show thinking I was going to do a whole show about immigration law, and I was like, no, please Google me, please like look at my YouTube video because it's even I'm going to be. Oh yes, I will talk about immigration, but I also will probably talk about race, but also we'll talk about dick quite a lot. So please watch the like YouTube me, please. Yeah. So I just think people had a different vision of what I would do, especially because it was a bit of a pressure as well going into there. But yeah, I had a great time doing the show. And just living your best life, that's what I think it's all about. Just having a good time. And that's what I'm like on stage. Just like energy, having a good time, in your face. This is who I am. And like I said, I wanted to be a pop star when I was younger. So it's just an exaggerated version of me.
Yeah. I mean, and a lot of your stuff is about family, but a lot of stuff is about dating. Yeah. Which I kind of find, you know, I'm sort of now at a distance from this and how different dating is now to when I was dating. I find it kind of fascinating. But you're doing a bit about I saw you doing a bit about dick pics, which I don't. This came on after I stopped dating, thankfully. There's no pictures of me out there.
Yeah.
Are
you sure?
Yeah. I'm pretty sure. I have some for my own use. Just
revelations.
What my genitals used to be.
Sexy.
But it's that whole thing of dick pics, and it seems to be something that just happens.
I think dating nowadays, especially if you're like single, it's so ridiculous. Like everything is very much like dating apps, and like you can find like dating apps the worst thing, but also the best thing. Like I've met actually friends from dating apps, but it's also funny when you see other comics on dating apps because you're like, oh. You're saying you're a comic. Are you a comic? I don't. There's people mainly from the open mic scene that I find. I'm like, you're not a comic. Go away. You're not a comic. Go away. But you find other friends on the comic, like who you do like the comedy circuit with, and you're like, oh hey, how you doing? What's happening here? You said not having a conversation, but you could have just had that like on the phone. But I find dating apps personally so annoying because I have personally tried them all, including LinkedIn and Uber Eats. However, delivery is better. but it is so hard trying, I'm not good with words, like I said, and like having to write that, even that bio, you've got to be sexy, funny, and like attractive in terms of personality, all in just one bio. And if I see any more people in like doing skiing on dating apps, I will slip my wrist. Oh my God. How many of you lot ski out there? Jesus. Yeah, I personally find them annoying because I like people face to face.
Yeah.
I like to have a conversation. I like to see them to see my energy. And I want to see their energy, whether we have like a banter and stuff like that. Because you do find people lie on their bios, mainly about their height, and about what they do for a living, and whether they still live at home, stuff like that. You do find people lie about. But the dick pic thing is hilarious because I probably have a collection. Like I could make an album. I could make it into an art gallery. I might even do that one day. My favorite one though is when a guy sent me a picture of full frontal. He's quite tall as well, full frontal, and like he looked like he was in prison because it was really dark and the light was quite dim, but like his lamp above, or his light above his head had no lampshade,
right?
So it looked like he was in prison and he had the most miserable face in the world. He would like, and I'm just like, why would you send me that? That is, I'm not looking at your dick now. I'm looking at your face, and you don't look like you want to be here. Things like that is hilarious, but also material.
Yeah, of course. I just, you know, as an opening gambit, it just, I mean, I don't know if the world's changed that much, but, you know, when I was growing up, and people who got their dicks out in bushes and stuff were kind of sort of perverts and bad people.
I think they are still perverts.
But if everyone's doing it, that's your opening gambit. Hello, my name's Richard and here's my erect penis. I don't think that's, you know, I don't know.
When that happens, then it's a, do I send this to the group chat? that kind of vibe. But normally when that happens, I'm like, oh no, you need to go away.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's normally the people, I find people that send the dick pics are the ones that are very confident with themselves. And that's fair play. You be confident with yourself. Just don't send it to me. but at the same time, I appreciate their honesty. Like some people are out there with their, this is what I'm looking for. And there are obviously certain apps for that, and they're like, this is what I'm looking for. Someone actually asked me for a threesome after my Edinburgh show, and I was like, I don't know what you got from my Edinburgh show that was suggesting that I would want a threesome, but take my number. No. it is really interesting the thing that people... Someone saw me on a dating app recently and had said to me, oh, I've seen you do stand-up and I've seen all your videos. And I was like, that's not sexy, that's crazy. Yeah. And it's a bit creepy for me because now I'm like, well, do you want to get to know me as me or do you want to get to know Sakisa, the performer, and brag to your friends that you are, like, you've had sex with a comedian and stuff like that. But also, I have fucked for punchlines, so...
Well, if they think that fucking a comedian's impressive, they've got very low standards. And I've just...
Well, I find it because a lot of my male comics, they get loads of like women and like people and like people in between and gays just sending them messages. And I'm here as a female comic going, I thought the streets were paved with it. And I'm like, no, apparently not. No, so yeah.
Well, it does seem to be a different experience between male and female comedians that I've talked to about that.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
You know, you were saying backstage about it, like, it's weird going to... It's a weird thing that you're still working and, you know, and being on big TV shows. Yeah. So you're going into work and are people treating you differently just sort of in professionally and socially?
Yeah, it's getting quite annoying. Well, that sounds wrong. It's not getting annoying. It's just, I think people... A lot of my friends recently who've introduced me to their friends have been like, oh, this is my friend Sakisa. She's a comedian. She's about to be on Live at Apollo. And you're like, oh, don't do that. Like, I think people have... I'd rather people see me on stage and then make their own judgment. I don't want people to be like, oh, she's on Live at Apollo. She must be amazing. Or because then they see you and you're like, that's not my style of comedy. And then that's a different situation. But I appreciate that everything's going well, and I'm very happy that everything's going well. Give me all the money. Thank you very much. But I just want to grow as a comedian. And, like, Edinburgh, like I said, was a learning curve for me where at points I thought I wasn't great at comedy. There would be days where I was like, I hate doing comedy. Like, I don't want to do it because I didn't think it was... I didn't think anyone got me or got my show, especially going in as like a working class person and doing my show in Edinburgh. I was just very much like, oh, this is a shock factor for me, even though I've been up to Edinburgh before. But coming back and like reflecting on the show and reflecting on me as a comic, I just wanted to go back and like do a new show next year and just grow as a comedian and just be still me, because that's who you could... I can only be me, and I'd rather just be me than someone else or fake someone else. And this is what the same people do on their dating app. Stop being fake. Be real with your shit. And thank you very much, babe. One person agrees with me. Just be real with your shit. And I'd rather do that. I'd rather just... This is me. This is who I am on the stage. If you're going to accept it, accept it. If you don't, then it's not for you.
Yeah. And, you know, I think all comedians are the same about that. I still go to Edinburgh... And at some point in Edinburgh, I think I've got to stop doing this job.
Yeah.
So Edinburgh's a very different thing. I mean, I've been through it. You know, if you go through Edinburgh without having 4 or 5 days where you're quite depressed in the middle, then something's wrong with you.
Yeah, I had 2 breakdowns.
Yeah,
that's good for Edinburgh.
Yeah, that's good.
I had 2 breakdowns.
That's normal. But
obviously chicken helped. So, yeah, chicken helped. Yeah.
Let me ask you some emergency questions. Have you ever seen a ghost?
Yes, I have seen a ghost. Oh, no, I felt the presence of a ghost.
Okay.
And this is the ghost that's at the pub. The ghost I called Laura. I don't know if it is a woman or a man or non-binary. It could be anything. But the ghost was there. And occasionally we would have a conversation. The ghost didn't respond back to me. Okay. Obviously, it's a ghost. But I did definitely feel the presence of a ghost. However, I do think it's very interesting that the ghost did haunt the pub and not my flat. I've never seen anyone that's had a flat ghost.
A ghost in a flat?
Yeah,
a ghost. They do like to hang around in pubs.
Pubs and houses.
Yeah.
I don't know what the deal is. Like, why is the flat too small? Is there no attic?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, maybe ghosts are all alcoholics, and that's maybe that's what ties them down to the ground, as they need... There's no
Laura,
booze in heaven.
Yeah, I think Laura probably was an alcoholic.
Yeah.
Most people that go to that pub are, so,
Good, that's exciting. What did you always want for Christmas but never received?
A Barbie.
Really? No, you didn't get a Barbie.
I got a Cindy.
Oh.
I remember that, right? Yeah. I always wanted a Barbie when I was younger, and my mum would always do the opposite, and I got a Cindy. And Cindy was the side bitch for me. She wasn't the same par as Barbie, was she? She wasn't the same par. So I was kind of like, oh, thanks, Mum, but this is not what I wanted. Cindy lasted like 2 days, and then she fell out the window.
And have you, now you're an adult and have some money, have you bought a Barbie?
No, actually. No, I haven't bought a Barbie. I think I'm intrigued about the Barbie movie. I'm intrigued about that. I really am intrigued about that. But I haven't bought myself a Barbie. I was tempted. I did go to Hamleys one day, mm-hmm. and it had like a big old Barbie collection. I was a bit in awe, but also a bit overwhelmed because I was a bit like, what Barbie would I pick? There's so many. But I haven't bought a Barbie. No. I have bought my godchildren Barbies, though.
Yeah, there you go.
Because they obviously now come in different styles. It's very different now than it was before. They've come in different styles. One's got Afro, so I buy my godchildren one of those. So just make sure they know that we can be Barbies. Yes. Wakanda forever.
Very good. I asked James Acaster this many months ago. Who is the most right-wing person you've ever been sexually attracted to?
Oh, man. Really?
There's something about pure evil, isn't there, that is just slightly
what,
sexy.
Satan?
Satan's a very good... I don't know if you'd call him right-wing. I mean, I suppose he is.
Oh, I don't know many...
No.
Right... Who's right-wing?
Nigel Farage, anything for any of that? Does that get a little pulse going?
No. I would rather kill myself than go right wing. Yeah. However, I would agree. I think I listened to that episode that you did with James Acaster.
Oh, yeah.
I was playing Pokemon at the same time. Yes. It was great. Because that's one of my favourite hobbies to do is play Pokemon. But I was playing Pokemon, listening to your podcast. And you lot had mentioned about the two women.
Yeah. Priti Patel and Suala Braverman.
I didn't really agree with the latter, but Priti,
yeah.
Fair play. I would do Priti.
Yeah.
I'll do Priti. Yeah, I'll do her.
Okay, good. Yeah. That's good to know.
Teach her some things about immigration. Yeah, I'll do that. Yeah. Yeah, let's talk about your ancestors, shall we? Yeah, let's do that.
I mean, it is. It is. Oh, I mean, it's that. That's the hurdle to get over, right?
Yeah.
With both of those ladies, is that their parents and grandparents wouldn't let them into the country.
Yeah.
If they were in charge at that point, and that is sort of a weird. That's a weird way to go, right? That you're so keen to fit in with the white Tories. I'm thinking that you sort of. Forget your heritage. You think
exactly.
It's that?
I think it. I don't know. I don't know if it's the money, the power, because I do stand up comedy to meet white people, and looking at the demographic today, I think we've been quite successful. And I do always find it interesting when people of color try to integrate and try to like act like. Powerful and like, especially in the government, and I'm like, what about your family?
Yeah.
What about you? What is your morals? And this is why I'm always interested about. I'm not a political comedian, but I've always been interested about politics, about what goes through people's heads. Like, are they just like, we have to go with this?
Yeah.
Or is it that they genuinely believe in, like, the politics of their party, or is it because? There was one day I was remember voting and I was like, I could vote for the cannabis party if I could. Because it was on the sheet. I was like, oh, let's vote for the cannabis party, shall we? And I don't do that myself, but I was just like, let's see what happens. I'm probably the only vote they got, but I just thought it was very interesting about politics in general and like people's views on it. Because the political, like the cannabis party came round to our estate and talked about their views. And I was like... You've been smoking way too much weed. like, we can't do that to dogs. I'm not going to go into it.
Do you have any childhood memories that can't possibly be true? Like shooting lightning from your fingers? Do you have any?
I used to be a witch.
Did you?
Yeah, okay. I used to be a witch.
I mean, is this a memory or is this a confession?
It's both.
Okay, great.
I used to be a witch, and my best spell was making my teacher, I'm not going to name names, because apparently they're still at the school, no longer have a smelly breath.
Wow.
I did that.
Wow.
How? Chewing gum. I used to be a witch, so I used to cast spells on people, but in like a not in a bad way, not
sounds
in an evil
nice
way,
way yeah.
But like just like making sure that people's lives were better. And I stopped doing that when I was 15, but because magic had to die. I really enjoyed doing that actually.
Yeah.
I might go back into it considering this political party. And see if I can change some things in the Tory government. But I love superhero stuff. I love, like, fantasy stuff and witchcraft stuff.
Yeah.
I'm a big, like, nerd at times when it comes to, like, especially, like, comes to wrestling. So I used to, like, really wanted to be, like, a manager for wrestling. So
okay. It's kind of odd to want to be a manager for wrestling. And like, to watch wrestling, I'd love to manage the guys who do that.
Okay, I clocked why you laughed. okay, a manager of a wrestler, I should say. I'm not good with words. We had this conversation. Because it used to be a fantasy of mine, but like getting into it was so hard, and it was quite painful to do. I tried to wrestle at times, but it was just very painful. I don't know if anyone here wrestles. I don't know if you want to wrestle.
I've never wrestled. I know some. There's a. Were you involved in the comedians wrestling show in Edinburgh?
I was this year, and it was probably I fangirled really hard out of everyone.
Right.
Everyone was a bit like, calm down. I was like, I'm so sorry. This is like my dream. love wrestling. I watch it like 4 days a week.
Right.
Yeah. So where do you find the time to do that? I find the time.
well, with everything else you're doing, that's pretty incredible. I know you and James Acaster trade Pokemon with each other. You did mention you're into Pokemon.
Yeah, I love Pokemon. Yeah. It's a good way to walk, especially during the pandemic. It was an easy thing to do. Just go out, just catch some Pokemon, trade with your friends from a distance, obviously, 2 meters, and just do some walking. But yeah, we've got in a weird group where we have, I say weird, they're lovely. They're going to kill me. They're a great bunch of people in this group, and there's a couple of comics in it, and James is in it, and we do raids together. We trade Pokemon when we see each other because James went to America. He got some exclusive Pokemon. you lot are neaky.
I think it's on their phone. I don't think they're
real. Pokemon Go.
I don't think they're real. Anyone's confused.
Yeah. It's not actual Pokemon.
but if
Pokemon
you believe,
Go.
If you believe hard enough, it is.
Yeah. Well, it's a good way to lose weight and walking, especially during the pandemic. It's something to do. It's when we were all locked inside and you were able to do that walking for like half an hour a day or an hour a day, whatever it was, just to go and do collect some Pokemon.
Yeah. Would you say a lot of comedians are nerds?
I am.
me too.
I'm a certain things I'm very like into.
Yeah.
Wrestling, Marvel, Wakanda Forever. Pokemon Go. I'm very nerdy, and those are the kind of things people don't expect from me. Especially like when I talk about rock music and like wrestling, people go, "Really?" And I go, "Yes. Why can I not like those things?" And I talked about it in my show, especially when it comes to rock music, because I was like, I don't understand why people don't get why I like rock music, because black people basically invented rock music. Like, amazing people have come from rock music generation. Tina Turner, Jimi Hendrix, Chuck Berry, Tom Jones, you know. It's one of ours. So those kind of things I'm so into, and my friends sometimes don't understand me with those kind of things. But I have friends for different elements in my life. I'm always doing, I like to be creative and do different things. I love music. I love being in my own little world with certain things.
Yeah.
And those are the kind of things I love.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you're a proper comedian. You're very much in the thick of the club. Your family are feature a lot. Your mum features a lot in your stand up.
Yeah, and she hates it. and I like to say it's payback because I'm the only child. So a lot, even up to this day, it's very much like, when am I going to have grandchildren? When is that going to happen? And I'm like, if you want grandchildren, you can adopt some grandchildren, okay? So she's very much a person that is keeps to herself. She's very old school West Indian. She keeps to herself. And until I was on TV, she hated the fact that I did stand up because she thought I was going to tell all our business to the world. And part of that is true, but part of it isn't. And I feature her in certain things in my jokes, like when she discovered my vibrator. That was fun for me. So those kind of stories, I think she appreciates because they're true stories, but she can see the funny side of it. My dad really hates the fact that he doesn't get featured in my jokes.
Right.
He's like, I'm the funny one I was like, don't worry, your time is coming. Okay. The new show, your time is coming. Like, even the other day, I was trying on a shirt because I was doing some filming, so I bought a new shirt, tried on a shirt. I went, Dad, did this shirt make me look fat? He didn't look at me and went, don't blame the shirt. Oh. I love him. He's my daddy. Yeah.
But it's very, you know, I think that will, you know, everyone will identify with that, I think, certainly.
Yeah.
Certainly.
And also, like, a lot of my comic friends fancy my dad, which
really?
I find really not great.
Okay.
Like, during the lockdown when we had the Zoom, like, gigs and, like, the Zoom conversations, I would be in, like, Zoom gigs with, like, a couple of my friends that were, like, running them. And then my dad would be in the background. And they would be like, Skeeter, can you move your camera slightly to the left? Keep going. And I realised it's because they're trying to see my dad, who's behind me, and just sitting there, just in his own head, listening to his headphones, watching YouTube. And I'm like, what are you lot doing? And it's just like, we're just looking at your dad. And I'm like, that's creepy. Don't do that. And even to this day, I'd get messages from my friends going, where's your dad?
Does your dad know about this?
Yes, he does, actually. And it's very creepy.
Yeah.
He enjoys the attention.
Yeah, of course.
And I'm like, he's not attractive. And my friend's like, he's so amazingly sexy. And I'm like, he's not. but he does look like me, which is weird.
So really,
they all find me attractive.
They're really
basically.
Just saying, they're just telling you you're sexy.
Yeah, no. But, which I hope they do.
Were you really mistaken? Did you and your mum really get mistaken for each other in the airport by the machine?
Yeah, that's a true story. So,
sorry, excuse me.
He's ringing.
It's just.
Can we answer the call? Oh, technology! We're gonna love it. You can't turn it off the phone, but you can turn it off from your watch.
Yeah.
The phone is ringing and you can... Technology. This is what happens when you've got money. I love it.
I beg your pardon. Most unprofessional. Was your dad ringing up? He's just sent me a dick pic. I see what the fuss is about.
No, that is a true story of me and my mum. It generally happened when we came back from Barbados that I put down my passport, or what I thought was my passport, and went through the border control straight away. She was trying there for 25 minutes. I'm getting frustrated with her. My dad had disappeared and gone to find the suitcases. It left me with her. And I get frustrated with my mum because she's really not good with technology in general. And she's trying this passport. And I'm just like, do it this way. Just put it flat. And proper shouting at her in the airport. Maybe, yeah, not in a nice way, but not aggressively. But just like, just do it this way, just do it this way. The man comes over and he literally looked at the passport and went, that's not yours. That's your daughter's. So I had gone through on my mum's passport and she's 65 years old. So I was kind of like, what is this machine telling me? But we all look alike, which is weird. So I look exactly like both my parents. And I post pictures of them on my Instagram, and then friends go, you look exactly like your mum. And then I post a picture of my dad, and the same people go, you look exactly like your dad. I was like, can you make up your mind, please? But I look exactly like my parents, so you can't. You can tell I'm definitely their child.
Okay. So your mum and dad look the same as each other?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's not go down that route.
I come from
Somerset, I can't talk.
My mum, when was in Barbados once, my mum got mistaken for the parent of me and my dad.
Right.
That was fun. She is older than my dad, but she doesn't look older than my dad.
No.
But it was just, in that moment, I could see her face just go, I'm going to kill you, bitch, when this woman had said to him, yeah. Oh, how's your children doing today in the shop? And we were like, oh. And this wasn't even like, it was only like 10 years ago that happened. And I was like, oh.
I mean, that's bad.
Yeah, she played it. But then, obviously, Border Control got payback on me by mistaking me for a 65-year-old woman. So, thanks. Thanks,
amazing.
World.
Amazing. Right, I'll ask a couple more emergency questions. Let's see what happens with this one. If you could go into a chrysalis and dissolve and come out of the chrysalis as anything you wanted to be, what would you come out of the chrysalis as?
I would come out the... Anything. So for some reason in my head, I really want to say Pikachu. and I've
Pikachu.
Yeah, I think I want to come out as Pikachu.
Okay.
Yeah, I think I do want to come out as Pikachu. I think I want to just be like Pika. and have no fear and just be like electrocuting everyone I see. If you try and touch me, I electrocute you. I think I want to do that. Actually,
okay, good. It's the only one I know, so that's good. It's good job it's not any of the others.
Pikachu is the cutest one.
Yeah.
Apart from Eevee, but yeah.
But surely Pikachus are easy to get, are they?
They are everywhere. Yeah. They are everywhere, to be honest. But they are original. They're original. And I like original.
Okay.
Fan favourite, I would say.
Oh, I must find that picture of... I was telling James about there's an app you can put you through and then it does a Pokemon character of you. So I'll send him that and I won't explain what it is and see if he remembers. But I look like I've got a ball gag in my mouth. Is that part of the Pokemon?
Not the one I see. You must have the X-rated version. Yeah. And that would be an interesting thing to see.
There must be sexy Pokemon, right?
I have heard there's Pokemon porn, and right. I don't want to get involved in that.
Are you
that,
sure?
No, it sounds like... No, I do not want to get involved with that. I heard
sounds like
Disney
you
want to
be a Pikachu so you can get...
No, I heard there's Disney porn as well.
Poked
and I'm
up
like,
the Pokemon up there?
No, it's just not my vibe at the moment. Okay. Let's just keep the things how they're meant to be, yeah? You're meant to be cute. Let's not get you X-rated, no.
If you had to have sex with a Pokemon, though...
No!
If you had to.
Oh, it'd be Onyx.
Okay.
It'll be Onyx.
I'll look it up later and see if I can...
Onyx is rock.
I'm going to try and wank over an Onyx later and I'll let you know how I get on. I'll send you a dick pic of how it's going.
I add it to the collection.
What is the most famous person you've ever been in a lift with that you didn't get into the lift with? Have you ever encountered a famous person in a lift, is the question.
Oh, actually, yes, yeah. Ric Flair.
I don't know who Ric Flair is.
Woo! Wrestler.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I happened to be in the same building that he was.
Because you were stalking him?
No, because okay. I was recording something
okay.
and I didn't realise that how he was in the building. I was in the lift, went to the toilet, got lost
okay.
Because it was a maze and it was the time when he had to follow the arrows.
Yeah.
So I got lost in this building, ended up back in the lift and then the lift stopped, doors open, Ric Flair comes in with like two bodyguards around him and I literally was in the corner going... in my head I was going, don't woo, don't woo, don't woo, don't woo, he's got a punch in the face, don't woo, don't woo, and I literally held my breath until they got out and I was like, why did you not take a selfie? Like, but he was filming something like a commercial, a weird BT Sport commercial,
right,
at the time. So yeah, he's probably the most famous person.
That's pretty good.
Yeah,
well done for, you know, not saying it. There's people I've been... the most famous was Rick Mayall. I stood behind Rick Mayall in a petrol station and he's my absolute hero.
Mm.
When he was alive, this was, if you were confused. And I didn't say anything. And he was being very Rick Mayall, but I didn't say anything to him. And I could have just said, thanks very much for everything. You're the reason I'm doing the job I'm doing.
Yeah.
You know, it's a shame not to do, isn't it?
Yeah, in that moment you're like... Oh, what do you do? You just freeze and you're just like, oh my God, what's happening right now? He's in here. I'm in the same breathing space as him. Don't woo. And then you're like, he leaves and you're like, what the hell did I not do his autograph or selfie or something? Because no one's going to believe this story. And that's the thing you need. I was like, leave him just a piece of his hair. I could have taken that. DNA, you know, made something into it.
Yeah, I know. Well, it's fine. But yeah, I think most people would like. Maybe he, Ric Flair, probably wouldn't like if he's got bodyguards. That doesn't sound like a very good wrestler if he's got bodyguards to me.
Well, his number one is Ric Flair. Everyone recognises Ric Flair. Apart from
not
you.
Me,
not
I don't.
You, but
Rick Mayall and Ric Flair.
Yeah. but I suppose the bodyguards were just with him just to make sure that no one's harassing him. But I was just like, no one really wants to harass. Well, I would harass Ric Flair, and just tell me all about his life story, which sounds crazy. But yeah, it's one of those things that you're just like, this is a once in a lifetime moment, and you're just like, why did I not take that moment? But I think probably. It's those kind of things you're like, reflect on, you're like, yes, that would be, that I could have done this, I could have done that, but we just have to live our lives the best way that we can.
We do.
Yeah.
So what's coming up? Is there stuff you can talk about coming up? Are you going to be touring the new show, and what's the new show going to be about?
So obviously TV stuff is coming out. Yeah. Live at Apollo is coming, should be out by this is out. So looking forward to that. I'm doing my new show, which is all about words and how we communicate in general, especially in light of me having my assessment in terms of whether I'm dyslexic or not, which is an interesting concept for me being older and reflecting on my childhood. Hopefully it will go on tour. I don't know whether anyone wants to see it or not, but
I hope they do.
Yeah. I think it will be funny.
It's interesting also that you've chosen two professions, at least three. Well, all of them are very about communication, right? So it is. Especially being a comedian, but being a lawyer, being a bar staff.
Yeah, the lawyer stuff, I didn't have a choice in terms of becoming a lawyer, because my mum, who's typically, as I said, West Indian, was very much like, you can do whatever you want to be as long as you're a doctor, lawyer, or engineer, or dead. And I chose not to die and decided to be a lawyer. But I decided to be a lawyer instead of a barrister, because you didn't have to talk in court, in public speaking, as a lawyer. And then in order for me to become qualified solicitor, I had to do this qualification to do immigration, which meant I had to do advocacy. So the thing that I was hating, which was public speaking, I've ended up doing now on a daily basis. I do my own advocacy in tribunal hearings. So I have to represent people, speak to a judge, say words to a judge. And I'm not very good with, like, even how I speak is not a typical lawyer pronunciation. I don't know why I'm doing this. So I want to explore all of that and talk about that.
Most people, regardless of whether they had any problems with words, wouldn't want to be a stand-up comedian. So it's kind of interesting to go for something as communicative as that. I can't even speak now. Communicative. That's the word.
I've sent you the bug.
Yeah.
I've given you the bug of not being able to speak.
That's terrific. Well, look, I'm really delighted you're doing so well. It's really great to see you on so much stuff.
Thank you.
And it's all kind of going really well for you. I'm sure it's going to go from strength to strength.
Thank you so much for having me.
It's my pleasure. Lovely. Ladies and gentlemen, the amazing Sakisa! You have been listening to Rahulastapper with me, Richard Herring, and my guest, Sakisa. Thank you to Scant Regard. They play the music. Don't you even know that yet? I do. I'm indebted to my producer, Ben Walker. Thank you to Chris Evans. Not that one, not that one, not that one, not that one. It's the one that usually is. Thank you to everyone at the Leicester Square Theatre and everybody who knows me. And thank you to my mum and dad. And everybody else. This is a Sky Potato Fuzz and GoFasterStripe.com production. Head to GoFasterStripe.com to buy downloads and books and all kinds of lovely things. DVDs, if you like, Grandad.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Thanks for listening. RichardHerring.com/gigs. GoFasterStripe.com for all my books, downloads, all that sort of shizzle. Oh, yeah, I know all the cool words. And would love to see you on the Can I Have My Ball Back tour if you can make it. Bye.